Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Be thou therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talk or gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ for God. One translation puts it like this: you need to be imitators of God. That's what he's saying there in verse number one. Be followers of Christ. You need to be imitators of God, copying him and following his example, as well-beloved children, as they imitate their father. Walk in love, esteeming, delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it becometh a sweet fragrance. Sweet fragrance. I'd like to title my message this morning, "What Do You Smell Like?" Or, Sister Diane asked me last night, "What's your title of your message?" I said, "Do You Stink?" And if I could put it in a more politically correct way, are you a stinker? This is not talking about body odor. It's talking about attitude. Hello? Talking about attitude. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Sweet smelling savor. You see, as Christ submitted himself to God's will, his Father's will, and come to the cross and give his life, and in such a horrific way, he became a sweet smelling savor to the world that gives us hope when there's nothing else. There is nothing else. And when we do that, as we accept him, we accept being a sweet-smelling savor to a world as ourself. In our life, you well know that our world needs a sweet aroma presented to them.
Amen.
And as I've said before, I'll say it again, when you go to a restaurant or you go to the grocery store and somebody seems to be less interested in you being there and them being gone or whatever, and they don't have a real good attitude, those that seem to need love the least need it the most. And we need to be keenly aware of the aroma that we're presenting to the world around about us. Hello? And if you can't do that when you go to a restaurant or a grocery store, wherever you may be, don't tell them where you go to church. Okay. We are to imitate. I'll get into the word. We are to imitate Jesus Christ and follow his example. As I reiterated this past week about our kids, we should desire to be like Christ as much as we want our kids to be like us. Well, sometimes. And kind of. And as long as we're portraying the right example, huh? You understand? We've all used the phrase, monkey see, monkey do. Wait a minute. I've got to check this out. We've all used the phrase, monkey see, monkey do. Well, our kids are imitating us. And if we're not imitating Christ, they're getting the wrong perception of the life that we are to portray as a child of God. Yeah. And they do see it, and our kids see it, and that's why it's so important It's so important that we exemplify and we show and imitate Jesus Christ. George Washington Carver, how many remembers him? He's a peanut guy. George Washington Carver was back many years ago, was at a convention. And back then, they didn't have the conveniences of showers and stuff. And he was sitting in this convention, and some lady was sitting there close to him and said, "Mr. Carver," said, "you smell bad." Mr. Carver politely looked up at her and said, "Oh, no, ma'am. I stink. You smell bad." Did y'all get that? We so many times get rubbed the wrong way or pushed the wrong way, and our attitude stinks. Well, I can see we're going to get somewhere this morning. In being imitators of Christ, and we're going to move past that. I've got some other things to share with you in conjunction with that. We want to walk in His love, considering the way He loved us and gave His all for us. To love in such a way that it creates a sweet aroma in the air. It's because of the salvation He has made available to us. He has created a sweet-smelling savor, a fragrance in our lives. As when we open the bottle to those around about us, that it brings an aroma that attracts people to us through Jesus Christ. Or to Jesus Christ through us. Are you with me? We all know what happens when there's tension in the house. We all know what happens when we have a bad attitude. It creates a hostile environment that is anything but sweet. It's like the aroma of a pig pen or even a chicken house. Come on, somebody, don't shout me down while I'm preaching good. The only reason that we're there is because we have to be. But as soon as we possibly can, we get out of there. And it's a far cry from the store Bath Body Works. I mean, you ladies can contest. You'd a lot rather be in Bath and Body Works than you had a pig pen or a chicken house. Come on, somebody. Amen. You could stay in Bath and Body Works and peruse that store for hours, right? Yeah. I expected a few more amens with the ladies concerning that. But, you know, I'm telling you the truth. And those places are a far cry from Dillard's cologne perfume departments. But it's the attitude that people get from us, whether they want anything we've got or not. It's that fragrance that we personify to a world that is living in a pig pen, that desperately needs Bath and Body Works. Huh? I'm feeling this, church. We need to go to the next level. And the next level that I'm fixing to go to is when we have that sweet fragrance and that sweet aroma from God that it portrays to the rest of the world around about us. We'll be eating from the table of God that'll bring us to the next level and the next position that He has for us. And I'll get there in a minute. But it creates an atmosphere. It is imperative in the world that we're living in that we create an atmosphere where people want to gravitate to you because of Jesus Christ. And Paul said to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again with the yoke of slavery." Listen, he said, mark my word. Paul tells you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, compare this to where I'm at, if you compare yourself to being circumcised, Christ will be of no avail you or you at for you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be satisfied by the law have been alienated by Christ. You have fallen away from grace. By faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith that is expressed through love. I said all that to say this. It's through our fragrance of love that brings the value of Jesus Christ to a person's life. And he told the church there at Galatia, he said, you did run well, you run a good race, but who's cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? I couldn't help but think, who's cut in on you? As this talks about, we can seriously get a stinky attitude when we're driving down the road. When somebody cuts in on you. Wow. I should have drunk my V8 this morning. It's in the most unopportune times for you. It's when we need to smell the goodest. The Lord told the church at Ephesus there in Revelations that they had lost their first love simply by being too busy. When we lose our first love, we lose our fragrance. We lose our aroma. By being too busy about stuff instead of focusing on the important things of showing the love of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes this happens when we focus on who we are instead of who He is. Who He is. We have forgotten who He is. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. I'm not mixing things up. I'm telling you, when He calls you out of darkness into a marvelous light, He has given you a fragrance that portrays from Him, that shows the world that you're different. You look different. You smell different. You act different. Because you are a child of God. We have been made kings and priests in God's family, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. The reason we have forgotten is we are adapted to our world of fast food instead of God's food. Wasn't it marvelous of the table that He spread before us this past week? I said, we have gotten used to fast food instead of His food. We want it spoon-fed to us instead of being hungry enough to go get it ourselves. I'm still talking about a sweet fragrance. We run to Subway for them to fix us a sandwich. I shouldn't have said that because y'all are at Subway already. Instead of getting the ingredients yourself to make your own sandwich, we have become self-sufficient. Listen, we have become self-sufficient only on convenience. Yes. It's time that we become sweet in all circumstances. John chapter 4, verse 31 said, In meanwhile, His disciples praying, saying, Master, let's go to McDonald's and get something to eat. And He said, hey guys, He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they started trying to figure it out. He must have been to McDonald's before we got here. He must have a brown bag special somewhere. Or maybe he went by Subway, got a sandwich, and we didn't know anything about it. And Jesus said to them, my meat's to do the will of my Father. He said, yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Here's the correlation. He said, then there's 4 months, they say, and then come the harvest. But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, for the harvest is right now, right where we're at. The reason that's so important is because we need to portray an aroma to bring the harvest to us. And as we go out and get the harvest and we bring the harvest in, we must have the right attitude, the right spirit. Listen, the world's not going to treat you like you want it to treat you. The world's not going to give you everything you want. Not everything in life is going to be a butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm telling you, if there's things in our life that's going to rub us the wrong way. But it's the Spirit and the presence of God that's inside of us that's going to keep us attitude to where we have a sweet smelling savor, to where we can reach out to the world. And the world looks at us and said, how in the world can they have that kind of an attitude in what they're facing and what they're dealing with? How can they have that kind of... It's important, church, that we keep the aroma of Jesus Christ flowing in our life. I mentioned to you last Sunday about this, and Brother Bishop mentioned to you this as well. You see, Joshua chapter 5, it says, the manna ceased on the morrow, and after they had eaten the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. And listen, and if I could put it like this, when we was outside of salvation, we just kind of barely got by with everything and whatever just come our way. But now that we've come to salvation and know the truth of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace, He has given us fruit to eat. He has given us meat to eat. And we must portray that kind of spirit and attitude. We must love through the sweet smelling savor. We must eat from the table of God. And it gives us that strength. Can I tell you, church, it's better when you pick it and eat it yourself. Amen. If you never tried that, you need to try it. An apple sweeter when you get it off the tree yourself instead of buying it at Walmart. Hello? Amen. So as I reiterate what Bishop Webb told us, the dam's about to break. We just got to get a hold of it. I said the dam's about to break. Every moment, every hour, the reason kids go to school 5 days a week is so they can learn something new every day. Every day, the reason you come to church and God speaks to our hearts so we can learn a little more to get closer to Him, a little more, a little bit every day. There's no doubt, church, that big dam's about to break. There's no doubt the Lord has prepared a table before us. But there is still nourishment. I said there's still nourishment to take in and living water to refresh us. The secret is that we must arise and eat. God told Elijah to do the same as he had just experienced a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And now the devil herself, that floozy Jezebel, was after him and going to take him out, and he ran for his life. And the day after the journey, he found a tree and collapsed and prayed that God would take his life. If he had just stuck around Jezebel, she'd have done it for him. Elijah found that tree, and as he collapsed under that tree, he said, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Huh? Anybody ever felt like that? Sometimes it's hard to keep a positive attitude. Glory. Sometimes it's hard to keep a positive attitude. But at least you don't have Jezebel after you. If you did, you'd know it. Had enough. And he laid down under that tree and he fell asleep. While he was sleeping, God sent an angel to fix a meal for him. There's sometimes that God fixes special meals for us. Amen. Yeah. And aren't you glad?
Yes.
Waking him up and telling Elijah, get up and eat, for the journey's too great for you. Come by to tell you today that the journey's too great for you. It's time that you rise and eat. And every time you get an opportunity, you need to be in the house of God. Every time you have an opportunity, you need to be eating from the table of God. That you continually resonate inside your life a sweet-smelling savor. This journey that we run, this journey that we face is too great for us on our own. I'm here to tell you, church, y'all, don't get back in that situation. I mean, you'd like to preach Bishop Webb to death. Huh? And you're awful quiet this morning. Come on. The dam's about to break. We got a leak. I said, the dam's about to break. I just come by as your pastor to tell you some, give you some instructions to let you know we need to have a sweet smelling savor in our life, our right attitude at all times. And as Elijah rose up and he ate and he fell back to sleep, that's the way we are a lot of times. We have a revival like we did with Bishop Webb, and we're just shouting and hollering and carrying on, and the sweet smell of fragrance is in our lives, and after it's all over, we go back and lay on our pillow and go to sleep as if nothing ever happened. Failing, this is what happened to Elijah, failing to recognize the moment of his visitation. So the angel hit him again and said, get up, Elijah. And Elijah went on that strength of that meal for a 40-day journey. There's times in our life that it can seem to be a little bit dry, and we have to go a long time on past experiences. But I'm telling you that God's experience, just because it's dry, does not mean that experience is not real, and the fragrance in your life still be, should be oozing. Look at your neighbor and said, let it ooze from you, brother. Let it ooze from you, sister. Huh? I'm telling you, we are struggling to keep from withering away. We are struggling to keep from shriveling up because of lack of spiritual food. Not because it's not available, but because we didn't get up and eat. Or perhaps we got too busy looking for what was lost and failed to see the evidence of what was in front of us. Looking for what was lost. Can I give you an example of that? Can I give you an example of that? There's about 3 or 4 amens, so that's good enough for me. We are looking for what is lost instead of seeing the evidence of what is in front of us. For in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Saul, and he was looking for his daddy's donkeys. Busy about the day. And it's early. I still got plenty of time. Okay, stay with me. Stay awake. If you see somebody nodding off, just shake them real good. Mess up their hair, do something. Make sure they stay awake. He's looking for his daddy's donkey, Saul. King Saul will be. Busy about the day. But God had a dinner prepared for him. Not just any dinner, but a dinner fit for the king. Hear me. Hear me. Saul was a different kind of a dude. But God, because the children of Israel said, we want a king, God chose him and brought him in, but he prepared a meal for him, a meal fit for the king. And so many times, church, we miss the meal fit for a king because we feel like we don't comply, but what we need to do is trust God. And when God gives you a meal fit for a king, your attitude's going to change, your disposition's going to change, your love's going to change, the fragrance is going to be stronger, and God's going to move in your heart and life. Man, I already know what I'm saying, getting ready to say, and I'm about to get excited. God prepared for him a meal fit for king. As he looked, and as Saul and his helper, his buddy, come into town, and they look for what the Bible called the seer. Back then, the seer was the man of God, and he was looking for the man of God to see if the man of God could figure out, through God's Spirit, tell him where his daddy's donkeys was, because they needed them. Back then, it was very desperate. For those things. And he looked for the man of God in the city to ask him where his donkeys was. And God had already informed Samuel about the installment of a new king. And Samuel invited him to dinner at his house. And Saul told him, I'm a nobody. I'm not even in the right family. There's the smallest tribe, Benjamin tribe that I'm from. The smallest in Israel. And you see, Samuel, I'm a misfit.
especially in your presence. Oh, but when God comes by, when God spreads the table, when God sets it up, when God speaks into your life, and can I tell you, you're a part of that, because He said, whosoever will, God wants to feed you so that you'll have a sweet aroma from a throne room of God. Listen,
this is gooder grits and greater gravy. I'm telling you, God wants to speak to your heart. Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought him to the guest room. It was a high place. He took him to the roof area. Is somebody getting this? God's not going to leave you where you are at ground level. He wants to take you to a higher place. Oh, come on, somebody. God wants to take you to a higher place. And He set them in the chief place among the persons. There was about 30 of them there who were invited, and other people feasted outside. Now look, it was Saul. We think about Saul and how God anointed him and blessed him to be Israel. But the main thing we think about, and I sense this, is we think about Saul's failure at the end of his tenure. But let me tell you, it was not God's fault that he failed. It was his own fault and his own decisions that he went the opposite direction. Because if he had kept his eyes on God and kept God in the proper place, he would have never failed and got too big for his britches. So let's stay focused right here for a moment. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion which I give you." Listen. "Of which I say to you, set it aside." And the cook lifted high the shoulder of what was on it, indicating that it was the priest's honored portion. You and I have been made kings and priests. And we have been satisfied with the offals of the animal. How many knows what the offals is? That's what nobody else wants. Okay? Now some of you like, I don't know if you like lamb gizzards or anything like that, but king's portion was the front shoulder. Everything else, everybody else got to enjoy. But the shoulder was the portion for the priest. We have been satisfied with everything else but the portion that belongs to priestly kids. And sometimes we're satisfied with that because we want to stay in our own atmosphere of poor, poor me, like Saul did. Samuel, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And Samuel, I'm the least of my father's house. And Samuel, we're the smallest tribe of Israel. And Samuel, I'm just a misfit. And that's all I'll ever be. But we're looking at ourselves through our eyes instead of looking through God's eyes. But can I tell you, keep in fact, that it's not because of who we are, it's because of who He is. I've got something else for you, okay? God spoke to my heart later. I jotted this in. The shoulder of an animal, whether it's a hog, not necessarily a cow, but a hog or a lamb, the shoulder in our modern times is considered a picnic. Hey, I'm a 15-year veteran butcher, okay? I know what a picnic is. Okay? And the insides of a lamb ain't a picnic. But the shoulder's a picnic. Come on, somebody, you're missing it. Look at your neighbor and say, "Are you ready to have a picnic? Or you just want a hoof somewhere?" Huh? Can I tell you the blessings and the joy of God can be a picnic? I don't know about you, but this past week, Brother and sister, I had a picnic in worshiping God. I had a blessing that God gave me in a sweet fragrance and aroma. And I cannot afford to let anybody mess it up. It's my picnic. It's my shoulder. It's what God has for me. It's the blessings of God that added no sorrow. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the fragrance of God. What you experience, what people come and ask for, is because there was a fragrance and aroma that filled this place. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When he come down from the high place of the city, Samuel conversed with Saul on top of the house, high and lifted up. He makes us to sit in heavenly places with him. Can I tell you, church, I just come today to let you know that we've been satisfied with the leftovers. But in this revival, God has prepared a meal for you fit for a king. You know why? Because you are a king's kid. Because you are worth the best that God has for you. It's made you a child of the king. You are a child of the king. Royal blood now flows through your veins. And while you've been sleeping, that which was been lost has been found. And this is the time for you to accept your priestly meal. For God is about to do a new thing in you and replace the heart of question and doubt. Did you hear me? God's about ready to do a new thing in you and replace the questions and the doubt and a new heart of faith and determination to follow Jesus and let the water flow and the fragrance permeate the air and flood your neighborhood. Hey, I come to tell you that when the prodigal son would come down the road, Daddy didn't say bring the leftovers. Daddy didn't say if you can go find a couple of rags to throw over him, he looks pretty bare. Daddy seen him coming down the road. Listen, church, hey, listen, this is something to shout about. When the prodigal son comes down the road, Daddy said, I want you to go get the best robe. I want you to go get a new pair of shoes. I want you to grab the ring, the family ring, put it on his finger. I want you to kill the fatted calf. There's something God's got for you, church, and we no longer need to live among the blessings of God that he has for us. What he has done for us. He made manifest to us because of him, especially through this revival. And when Saul had turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. Listen, that wasn't all that. We talk about that God given Saul another heart, but that's just part of it. And the rest of that verse says, and these signs came to pass that day. You know what that means? That simply means those donkeys that was lost. Those donkeys was valuable to Saul's daddy. Not like today, we just use a donkey for whatever, but they was valuable to Saul. And he said, that which these signs came to pass that day because those donkeys was found and he told them where to go get him. Listen, what you have lost, what the devil stolen, we sing a song. I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. Those things that was lost, those things that have been misplaced, those things that you have forsaken, those things, I read a scripture a while ago that you did run well, who has slipped in, those things that you no longer have that exuberance, that fragrance in your life. God said, I'm going to give you a new heart and I'm going to restore you. Right now, I'm going to restore you. Those signs will follow you today. Listen, church. All that you have experienced this past week was no accident. And it is absolutely imperative that we keep it up. And we keep moving forward. It's a fight. It's a fight, but we've got to keep moving forward. But can I tell you, it's going to be worth and more than the fight. And there's much more to gain than there is to lose. Knowing what I preached to you a couple of weeks ago when it said, come unto me, all you that labor and weary and are heavy laden and burnt down. He said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I'll help you. I'll give you the strength to carry it. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there. And the yoke that I have, take upon you. It'll make your burdens lighter. A
I'll help you. Hey, I just come by to let you know we've come too far to give up. We can't afford to shut up. We've got to keep it up. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to keep it up. Continue to remember and rehearse as much as possible. We've got to rehearse as much as possible, like little children of Israel that's leaving Egypt, understanding that every day, the farther you get away from Egypt, listen, leaving more and more of the world behind.
Amen.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Every day that the children of Israel journeyed away from Egypt, the farther they got away from the world. The more we have revivals like we have and services like we have, the more you're going to leave the world behind and you're going to start looking, acting, and smelling like Jesus. Glory. Glory. I'm almost through. All I like is finishing. That went over good too, didn't it? Listen, I am finishing and concluding on this. Not exactly sure how long it'll take me to conclude, but I'm working on it. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Exodus chapter 12, and Aaron left Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth month, the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Still talking about eating the king's meal. Hello? The lamb has been given. Just accept him for all your needs. This was a critical time in Egypt. It's a critical time for the Jews that was in Egypt. He said, I want you to take a lamb without blemish. I want you to prepare it. But a lamb without blemish can have any spot on it. It is sanctified, dedicated, consecrated unto God. And he said, I want you to take the blood of that lamb, put it in the cup, and I want you to strike the two sides with hyssop, strike the two sides of the doorpost, and the upper doorpost of the house, and then wherein you shall eat it. In other words, God's saying, I want you to cover your house. Cover the doorpost and above it. Where you're going to partake of the meal that God's preparing for you. Verse 8, he said, I want you to roast it with fire. Not boil it, but roast it. Hello? With fire, because fire purifies. And a pot of water only makes things soggy. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you'll do it God's way, he'll bring the results. If you don't do it God's way, you're going to bog down with soggy meal. But roast it with fire. Let nothing of it remain until morning, but eat it all. And then shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's promise. Can I tell you, church, we need to accept what God has for us. Get it ready in the house. The blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. Get your robe on. Get your shoes on your feet. Get ready to eat the meal of God, because God's fixing to take you somewhere. I said, God's fixing to take you somewhere. Don't just be set aside and be lethargic, but be ready to move. Be ready what God has for you. You may not be leaving Egypt, you may be already out of there, but God's got some place for you to go. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can I tell you, they ain't nothing but the blood. This day, somebody say, this day shall be a memorial for you, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it as a feast, as by an ordinance forever. So we must be, it is important that we tell our children and our children's children. It's important that we let them know what you experienced in the revival last week. We cannot let it die, but we've got to expose it to our children and let the sweet fragrance of the Holy Ghost permeate our lives and let it change us and move us, and let us be ready as we eat the King's Priest's food, that we're ready to move and we're ready to go at a moment's notice. Yes, would you all come to the piano, please? Not quite through yet. I know if they're coming to the piano, it'll make you all feel better. Moses called the children of Israel and said, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families." Can I tell you today, this is a family matter. Hello? It's a family matter. If all your family ain't underneath the shelter of the blood of Jesus Christ, don't you give up. I said, don't you give up. You stay in the house, you keep praying, you keep seeking God, you keep pleading the blood over them. I said, you keep pleading the blood over them, you keep pleading the blood over them, you keep pleading the blood over them, and let the power and the anointing of God get a hold of their heart, get a hold of their life, and bring them into the family, because it is a family matter. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a family matter. We're not going to mess around or give up till they're all into the house of safety. See, that was a very important part. It was when they was in the house that was covered by the blood. It was a place of safety. Every morning, plead the blood over them. Every night, plead the blood over them. Two or three times a day, plead the blood of Jesus Christ. They took the hyssop, they dipped it in the blood, they struck it over the top of the door and on either side. It was to cover their family. Can I tell you today, stay covered with the blood. Stay covered with the blood. Ye shall observe these things for an ordinance to thee and thy sons forever. It is a memorial. We need to make it a tradition. Every one of us, I would say, been saying there's certain things that you have made traditions in your life. At Thanksgiving, you kill a turkey. Christmas, you kill a hog. Birthdays, you have a tradition. Birthday cakes, whatever. There's tradition. But we have forsaken the tradition of God. So I ask you today, by the authority of God's word, that you start a tradition if you haven't already. That you plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every family member, whether inside or outside of the ark of safety. But you plead the blood over them till they get to the ark of safety, till they get to the house of safety. Can somebody say glory? And it shall come to pass when the children shall say, "What means thee? What mean ye by this service?" What mean ye by this service? The service that we have. What mean? You mean God come down in this place? He wants you to be a sweet smelling savor. He wants you to eat from the King's table and have the King's meal. It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel of Egypt, who smote the Egyptians and delivered our house. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. He made a way out of bondage. Can I tell you, church, we got to keep it alive. It's our mandate. It's a mandate. We've got to keep it alive. Can I tell you, the dam's about to break. And I want to be under the spout where the glory of God is being poured out. Glory. And I tell you one other thing. When Jesus comes down and kisses this place, I want to be right in the middle of his smack. Glory. Would you stand with me all over the building today? God's got something special for you. God desires for you to eat from the King's table.